My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
49ers win in Seattle last night. We'll get back to that game in just a moment because there were a lot of things going on. But Perloff, we've got such a huge college football weekend. In fact, as you've been pointing out, we're setting up for two really big weekends in a row here. It's going to be a very, very interesting time. This is the, forgive the cliche, the contender-pretender type of line here. And you definitely have teams who are facing in or out of the college football playoff. It does feel like there are elimination games happening this
week. We're sort of starting, and now that we're really in the conference schedule, the SEC is going to deliver big time for the next month. I don't even know. As I told you, I'm a little stressed out.
Why are you stressed?
Well, there's a London game on Sunday. Okay. It starts at noon. The noon schedule is not great, but basically I am going to, and you are too, going to spend 32 hours on my couch watching football this weekend.
That's not stress. That's stress-free.
As long as
you don't have something else to do.
Don't you feel exhausted by Sunday night? Like, oh my God.
In the best way possible. I mean, this is what we live for. This is our time of year.
Well, it's going to be, for some reason, I'm kind of nervous about the Ohio State Oregon game.
What makes you nervous about it?
Well, I picked Ohio State to win the national title. I feel like this is, you mentioned contender, pretender. Like, there's no two teams in the country that we understand less than these two teams. Ohio State hasn't played anybody, and Oregon has looked vulnerable, except now we know that Boise State's awesome, so, like, maybe that win is good. There's just so much going on. Like, it's first big Oregon, Big Ten contest. It just feels like there's so much on the line. It's like a defining game. You have no idea. It's very hard to predict, in my opinion. You do not know how Ohio State and Ryan Day are going to show up in this game.
No, it's amazing. I love it. We had Trista Crick on yesterday, diehard Oregon fan, born and raised in Portland. She feels so, there's such a lack of confidence from her on the Oregon side of this that I was actually quite surprised. She feels like she's seen Oregon lose some big games.
Yeah.
You do have Ohio State coming in with a dominant defense, with some great wide receivers. But again, they are traveling multiple time zones to go to Oregon and play in what is going to be a raucous Autzen Stadium. Here's a question I have for you. Of all the quarterbacks playing this weekend, who do you think has the most on the line? Now, you can define that in a lot of different ways, right? Most on the line because of this season and maybe in danger of getting benched if they have bad games, or even most on the line in terms of their future in the NFL or their future after this season. Which quarterback do you think is feeling like, for lack of a better term, just a lot of pressure right now?
Okay. This is tough. I was thinking of two guys. I'm going to say Drew Aller for Penn State has a lot of pressure because this is, I know USC's not ranked now, but this game is going to get a lot of eyeballs.
Yes. Penn State going to USC, 3:30 Eastern time.
He is the one guy, you know, former number one overall recruit, Drew Aller. He's the one guy who nobody knows if he is a big-time player, I think. Like, Penn State has traditionally let down in huge spots, so I think it's up to him to raise his game. He could not do it last year. I think this is the first. He has a couple big games coming up, but this is the first one where I think he has to show off that I'm a star, I'm a potential first-round pick. I think people are nervous about him. He's all the talent in the world, but he's never put it together on the big stage. So I think he has the most pressure.
You know, it's funny, too, about Penn State quarterbacks lately. Before they go out in a new offensive coordinator that they have this year, Andy Koltunicki, who people made a big deal about. But it was almost like you always – it was like the quarterbacks minimized in a lot of ways. You know, it's like Penn State, what are they even asking the quarterback to do? Right? It's like you're going to – you know, it almost felt like they were escaping certain criticism. Not now. Not now, right? Now it's a little more of a downfield passing attack. It is a little bit more on the quarterback. I think that's a really good choice. I think both quarterbacks in that matchup are under a lot of pressure. Maybe not Drew Aller in terms of the NFL, but for Miller Moss, I think so. I mean, you had that game in Michigan where you go and lose, but then you lose in Minnesota. You got to look good. And Penn State's defense is very good. So it's not going to be easy. But, you know, Miller Moss Pearl was getting a lot of positive attention after that win against LSU, and now it's waned a little bit.
Feel like that dream is over.
Well,
I mean, we said to ourselves, okay, Caleb Williams is gone. Miller Moss will be the next Lincoln Riley out of nowhere. I think we were expecting Mac Jones at Alabama. I've given up. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like there's not pressure. Then again, he could go out and just completely ball out this weekend and get back in my good graces. I'm not seeing him in mock drafts. He was there about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You're right. People had him as a mid-first round pick, possibly. It feels like a long time ago.
Well, he gets the Lincoln Riley bump. You know, guy's got a great coach. Can I give you the quarterback who I think is feeling the most pressure? Now, I don't know how he processes this, but just from the outside looking in. And that's got to be Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers, who's coming back from injury, Steve Sarkisian said yesterday he is starting. So, you know, we've always been watching this very unique starter backup situation because Arch Manning is not your average backup. And so Arch got to play the last two games. He was playing against not great opponents, but he played well. And if Quinn Ewers, let alone if he gets hurt, but if he struggles, and remember, Oklahoma won this game last year. And so Oklahoma's defense is good. We'll see about the offense. You know, they made a change at quarterback. It's a freshman who's going to be starting now in this Red River rivalry that you call the what?
Oh, everyone calls it the Red River rivalry.
Right, right. So if Ewers, Pearl, let's say he throws a couple picks, you know, early in the game, do you go back to Arch? And once you go to Arch, if that indeed would happen, now what do we do? So for Quinn Ewers, maybe not for the NFL. He'll probably be fine there, although he'll have some injury questions he'll have to answer. But for this particular season, you know, you can only hold off Arch Manning, I think, for so long.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure I see it that way. Arch was good, but that Mississippi State game, Mississippi State's terrible this year. Yeah. That was, they were letting him hang around. Arch, his final stats were amazing, but I think it was, I was actually watching him. I'm like, oh my God, is Mississippi State going to make this a game late in the game? Then Arch got a couple fourth quarter touchdowns. I'm not sure it's that close right now. I feel like Sark loves Quinn Ewers running this offense.
Well,
even if they struggle a little against Oklahoma, I think they would chalk that up to, okay, well, Oklahoma brings their A-plus game in this Red River rivalry. So I don't know that Ewers is feeling the pressure in this game.
Listen, I also think that the Mannings, like all of them, have taken a little pressure off of this because didn't Eli and Peyton basically say that you shouldn't lose your job to injury? I mean, they're kind of trying to do the right thing here. And Ewers, would, you know, if he gets injured again, all right, then you have to go to Arch. I just don't know how long you could keep him. How long can you hold him at bay if Ewers doesn't play well, or if they find themselves in crunch time? I also wonder with that Mississippi State game, and were teams holding back? Don't you feel like that's been a theme this year? You don't want to show everything early in the season. Maybe that's always a theme. Like, there's been a lot of talk going back to that Oregon-Ohio State game, pardon me, that Chip Kelly has not actually shown everything he wants to do.
That's a very optimistic read of modern Chip Kelly. Has Chip Kelly the last 8 years been doing that? He's been holding back the entire stint at UCLA. That was brilliant. It's a long play.
Got him right where he wants him.
I don't know. I've heard another debate. People are saying, because Quinn Ewers, can he still get the Heisman by winning those games? I mean, that guy knows how to run Sark's offense. Maybe Oklahoma gives him a hard time. I'm much more high on Quinn Ewers, especially as a college quarterback. I don't know if he's a high first-round pick. I mean, he's still...
Injuries are...
I mean, he's still, if you read any mock draft, he's like four in most of them. Like, he obviously, another, like Drew Aller, number one overall recruit by a mile. I think they're probably going to beat Oklahoma. Because Oklahoma, how's Oklahoma going to score in this game?
I don't know. That's why the spread is 14.5.
Even if Ewers doesn't play well because he's rusty, I still think they have a great chance to win this game because Oklahoma can't score. So that then you have the real test next week against Georgia. And now Georgia's defense all of a sudden isn't Georgia's defense. I think Ewers is in a good spot. I'm more confident in him. I think you've been kind of waiting for Arch. I don't know. I'd like to do some sort of show bet on Ewers. I'm really high on him.
All right,
you could be right. Arch is amazing. I mean, Arch is, I've never seen a more surefire number one overall pick since Peyton. I mean, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. I would start tanking now if I was a team. But I still feel like...
No, you can't tank because it's the Mannings. It doesn't matter if you have the number one overall pick. He's going to go wherever they want him to go. Didn't we learn this with Eli? And with Peyton, quite frankly, Peyton Manning didn't want to go to the Jets, so he went back to Tennessee.
So Arch is in his second year, so he could presumably go pro
after next year.
But does he need to? He doesn't need the money. Why doesn't he just stay at Texas and do 2 years like Peyton did?
Well, listen, you can say he doesn't need the money. That's fine. I still think it's what do we think the starting quarterbacks are getting paid in college right now?
Well, a guy like Arch Manning, he's probably making $3 million now. He's not started. He'll probably make $10
million. Okay, you're a first-round pick. You're the number one overall pick. You get $20 million the moment you get drafted.
Yeah, but you're signing a five-year $31 million. You definitely could make more and that than your. You could make more in college than your rookie deal.
I get it, but if you're looking, you could get injured at any moment. That still exists.
Well, you're trying to get to your second contract.
And you're trying to start the clock on your second deal.
You would definitely, I mean, if you actually look at the math, you would definitely make more in college than the five-year rookie deal.
Right, but...
You're trying to get to that second deal. But why does Arch care about the second deal? He's got Omaha Productions money.
It's $250 guaranteed probably by the time Arch is signing after the third year that he's in the league.
I think it changes, let's be honest, it changes the math for Arch. I think Arch has sat there for 2 years, and back of his head, he's like, well, I could stay here another 2 years, try and win two national titles.
Arch could be the first $70 million a year quarterback, and there's probably going to be someone maybe even gets there before he does. Dax at 60. Anyway.
I mean, his father did the same exact thing and went back to college.
His uncle.
Yeah. His uncle. His father would have loved to, but had a neck injury.
Yeah.
But, he does not need money. But I don't even know how he got here. Ewers obviously is gone after this year. It's going to be Arch's team. I think he can wait. I think you're very curious.
It's not even about, I think if Ewers throws a couple picks, if he's rusty coming off of this injury and Arch gets back in the game and say they beat Oklahoma, then what? It's not so far-fetched. We're talking about which quarterbacks have the most on the line this weekend. Perloff, you think that it's...
I think Drew Aller is under a lot of pressure. I think the whole Penn State program is under a lot of pressure.
Fair. I think that it's Quinn Ewers coming back off of injury. EJ, which quarterback is the most on the line this weekend?
I think they're two good picks there. I'm going to go to the team with the $20 million NIL roster, the team that has all these NFL players. You say, wow, this guy's a star. And you look at the quarterback and you're like,
yeah,
that's their quarterback? And that's Ohio State.
Yeah.
And look, Will Howard was a really good player at K-State. He's been really good this year. It just feels weird, right? Like, we saw kind of Kyle McCord being the quarterback of Ohio State and how he clearly just wasn't good enough to kind of raise that roster that was clearly talented enough to make the college football playoff last year. I wonder if we're seeing the same thing again, right? Like, Will Howard is not necessarily this Cam Ward talent or some of these other transfer quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel, like, he's not this guy's going to put up these huge, huge numbers. He's putting up huge numbers now because they're playing against nobody. This is his first real test, and I think if he's going to be a national championship caliber quarterback, I think we're going to have to see it this week because he has guys behind him. Like Julian Sain transferred there as well. He's a former five-star all-world recruit. Like, I think that Ryan Day will pull the plug quick if Will Howard shows that he's not ready for this kind of moment.
Well, you go to Devin Brown, though, right?
Or Devin Brown, right, forever. Exactly.
But I don't. But the only caveat I would say is that nobody thinks Will Howard's good. So is there a lot of, like, I feel like the bar is low for him. Like, I don't think anybody, you watch him, everybody has the same take. It's like, oh, Ohio State's great. Their quarterback's eh.
No, but think, to EJ's point, yeah. I think this is going to be the biggest stage. Like, if you remember, he's been around in our lives for a long time. But this game is going to do a gigantic TV rating.
Right, right. But I don't think, I think the bar is low for Will Howard right now. I don't feel like it's a guy, you mentioned Ewers and Drew Aller. Like, these are stars. Like, nobody thinks that way about Will Howard.
But I feel like this game, the bar is going to have to be high, right? Because Oregon, now Ohio State's defense is nasty. Maybe they just put the clamps on Oregon and that's it. But the expectation is you play Oregon, probably going to score 40 points, right? So I think there's game pressure for Will Howard to play well. Because if he plays a decent game or good Will Howard game, that might not be good enough. So for him, he may be seeing the bench if he doesn't rise up to that level of play.
Is that funny that Kyle McCord's putting up gigantic numbers at Syracuse?
It was awesome.
I should have kept that dude.
No.
I remember when they got him at Syracuse, and they're like, look at our good fortune. Like, we never get quarterbacks
the
like
head coach
this.
Said that he wanted to send a bottle of champagne to Ryan Day.
That's what he said.
But none of us thought Kyle McCord was good. I just think
but
that
people still expected him to play well, and then when he didn't play well, specifically against Michigan, and he's throwing interceptions, they got him up out of there.
I think you view this Ohio State team, you say, just put it in the general vicinity of Jeremiah Smith and just watch him catch it with one hand.
That's the question. Would he have to make these ridiculous acrobatic catches if his quarterback was a little better?
That's the thing, though. You don't need him to be good. You just need him to avoid mistakes. Like, just like he is the ultimate game manager there. He just needs to manage the game.
He needs to be Greg McElroy, Ken Dorsey.
Yes.
Like, that kind of quarterback. Like, those guys were not spectacular.
That's what he's
just
done.
Yeah, and that's what he's been doing so far. Just give the ball to the playmakers, let those guys do what they do.
I could throw a 5-yard pass to Buka and watch him run 80 yards down the field. I could play quarterback for Ohio State. I'm telling you, that team and...
What a sitcom that would be.
Oh, I'm honestly not that much worse than Will Howard.
You'd be doing math homework for everybody on the team. That would be your role.
Dude, first of all, they're...
Tutor.
I think you're underestimating Jeremiah Smith's ability. He could make me look good. He is ridiculous. The whole team is ridiculous. They go 4 deep with first-round wide receivers. I just think it's interesting. Oregon, on the other hand, I don't know how you stop Ohio State, but I'll tell you who does stop Ohio State. Ryan Day. That's a guy under pressure. Aren't you nervous about what he's going to do?
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
I don't think they've shown anything yet. Again, how creative do you have to beat Michigan State?
Can Ryan Day win a big game? That I think, can he, you know.
He's won tons of big games, not Michigan.
I don't trust Ryan Day right here. I'll be honest. I like Ryan Day.
Who do you trust less, Ryan Day or James Franklin?
I don't trust anyone less than Franklin. But I feel like if it comes down to it at the end with Lanning versus Day, that would make me nervous. I think Ohio State wins. I'm personally on Ohio State bandwagon here. But I can just see Ryan Day screwing up.
Let's go to Oregon. Kevin is there. Wants to talk about the Jets. But Kevin, I'm sure it's all the talk in Oregon right now is this big game against Ohio State.
Oh, definitely. And this isn't what I called about. But I think Dylan Gabriel's got a lot of pressure. Yeah. The reason I say that is they made a big deal about getting him from Oklahoma. You know, he's replacing Bo Nix, and he's supposed to be, you know, all of that. And he's going to go up against a defense that he probably hasn't gone up a defense that is as good as Ohio State. So I think he's got a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's a great point, Kevin. Also, the red zone interceptions for Dylan Gabriel, that's got to stop, or else you're not going to have a prayer in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to say it because I really want Oregon to win, but I think Ohio State's going to win this game. Listen, I called about the Jets.
Sure.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers got either sacked or hit almost 20 times in the last game. They rushed for 14 times for 36 yards. I mean, Perloff could do that, I think.
I'm sorry, Perloff's playing quarterback for Ohio State right now. He doesn't have time to quarterback the Jets.
On Sunday, he can go play for the Jets. But I think their offensive line is the problem. And until they get that fixed, I don't think the Jets have a chance of doing anything.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, it's a great call all around. I'm actually surprised. Like, it doesn't seem like anyone in Oregon is really feeling confident right now. And I get it. I see how the season has gone. It has not been – you've been in some dogfights that you did not expect to be in. I understand that. But you look good against Michigan State. I don't know. Anyway,
that's Michigan State. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's like, you know, you're getting the ship right. You're ready for this game. You're home. Anyway.
You basically have the entire first round of the NFL draft coming into your building.
Okay.
That stadium better be loud because this is trouble coming.
I wanted to mention this yesterday because we were talking about what pressure maybe Dan Lanning be under. And for some reason, I have Oregon winning a national championship. And I am, too, very nervous about this game.
Okay. Well, because it doesn't matter. You can lose this game and be just fine.
Yeah, in theory. But I just feel like as good as Oregon's looked under Dan Lanning, I still can't get that image out of my head of week one 2 years ago against Georgia going into the Mercedes-Benz and just getting mollywopped. They didn't belong on the same field as Georgia. Yeah. And when Oregon plays some of these top teams, it just feels like they're a step below for some reason.
No, but that was almost three seasons ago. When you really think about it, it was opening game of last year. I did a whole season after that, then a whole other season. Now we're midway through another season.
But it just feels like I watched them lose to Washington twice, and we know Washington wasn't, you know, up to that level. Obviously, they didn't win a national championship. It just feels like Oregon is like the greatest of the very good. Like, that's what when it's SEC or Ohio State time or Michigan time, it just feels like they're just not going to be as physical. They're not going to be as tough. And that's tough because Dan Lanning is a tough guy. Like, that's his whole image.
He's a defensive guy.
He's a defensive guy. He's a physicality guy. But, like, this is going to be a major test. And I think that's why Oregon fans are scared because they've seen these games before. Yeah. And that last one, the last big test, they failed with flying colors. They lost by, like, 40 points.
Well, I mean, that was Bo Nix against Georgia. That is a special kind of living hell for a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he never could. You know what's going to be fun is this. You know who's getting a lot of hype is Jordan James, the Oregon running back. They kind of have to control the ball and not let those receivers get. It's going to be really interesting, X's and O's. Like, how do you stop those Ohio State receivers from getting those slants and going 80 yards to the house? I think they could do it. I think this is going to be a very close, interesting game. And also, too, didn't we have a caller or a guest talking about how loud that stadium's going to be this weekend? That's a big home field advantage. You've been there, right?
I have.
It's a great place.
855-212-4227. Very special place. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in. Which college quarterback has the most on the line this weekend? Dylan Gabriel's a good choice. I mean, he was a big-time transfer coming in from Oklahoma, and you got to follow up Bo Nix. Not easy. Okay, we have more to do, including a wild game last night. I don't think anyone saw this coming. We'll get to that and the big takeaways next. Pearl, you got something to say?
Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That is why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and Real Fit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So this is Billy Joel, right, Nick?
Peter Schwartz, how many times have you seen Billy Joel?
I have seen him 20 times.
But this is also the theme to the 80s sitcom Bosom Buddies, which did not make our, with Tom Hanks. And I consider us bosom buddies, Maggie. And I think that,
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Is our friend online, there's another bosom buddy who I know was very, very proud of you the other night because Maggie was honored as a Synopsis Game Changer, honoring women in sports media. Unbelievable night. A lot of celebrity sightings. There was food that I don't think we really had a chance to eat. There was a
too busy schmoozing.
One of our bosses stealing a trophy. It was a wild night, but I'm still coming off that high.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got one of our pals, your bosom buddy, but mine too. Sully's on the line. Sully.
Sully is on the line. Yes. Sully finally got through. EJ answered. I called like the third phone number that I had for you guys. It took me, I had to do like some serious digging to get online. What's up, people?
Why did you just text us?
I don't want to interrupt the show. You're not supposed to be on your phones, Andrew.
Honestly, Sully, a true professional and one of our great friends. Really, it started off as McLovin's friend, but I've just adopted you, Sully. Where are you right now? Are you in Vegas?
I am in Las Vegas. Dropkick Murphy had to get up and go do his business an hour ago, and neither Schmoopy and I have been able to fall asleep since. I'm like, you know what? Let's call in. Let's give EJ some love because he's back on the set. He's able to answer the phones. He's not at home. Multiple things I love about you guys. Looking at the screen, Maggie, you got the football over your shoulder. McLovin's got the hockey puck over his shoulder. We got to get something for EJ, even though he's talking in the background. He doesn't know what's going on. We got to get some stuff for EJ's office. What's up?
This is my favorite piece of memorabilia when Sully was so generous and sent me a Jim Kelly signed football. I mean, there's no better gift that I could ever receive.
I don't think EJ's allowed to put memorabilia on that side of the glass, Sully. I mean, but you should come. You got to come to New York. You're going to be on the East Coast, I know, coming up soon. You got to come down and visit us, buddy.
I'm trying to figure that out. First of all, Maggie, congratulations. Nice work. What an honor. You deserve it. Getting up there, being so instrumental in sports.
Oh, thanks.
I'm very proud of you.
You would have loved this room, by the way. So this is the thing about Sully. Sully comes with us to a lot of different shoots, and you're just a really friendly guy, and everyone loves you. And you kind of know everybody. You're good at work in the room, but like not in a swarmy way, like in an awesome way. You would have killed in this room. You would have killed. There are so many cool people that you would have loved to talk to, and they would have loved talking to you. This room was built for Sully.
Yeah, lots of ladies too, Sully.
Well,
and I know
he's off the
ladies
now.
Love Sully. Well, yeah, I mean, just to talk.
Right next to me, McLovin. You know that, right?
No, like, I'm not saying like anything more than a conversation.
Gonna get so when
you guys were talking about what quarterback has the most pressure on him, two things. One, I want to say Drake May, but I think we're talking college.
Yeah.
Droopy wants to know, tonight's Utah game, is Cam Rising playing? What's the deal?
Oh, that's the great mystery of all sports. Is Cam Rising playing?
I thought if he doesn't play, there is a report they will play. But I heard something, if he didn't play, then he could come back again next year. That they were thinking about redshirting him.
Oh my
God. Wouldn't that be awesome?
End the madness.
No.
That'd be amazing.
Okay, well, according to Brett McMurphy from 15 hours ago, he will start tonight against Arizona State. How does Schmoopy feel about that?
Thumbs up. Big thumbs up from Shmoopy. Shmoopy's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, she doesn't say much. She's behind the curtain. You know, she's the brains of this operation. She allows me to go and do what I do. And we got to get her out to some of these events. You guys got to come back to Vegas.
Oh, I know.
Got to get to Vegas again.
I totally disagree with Shmoopy. Like, if he doesn't play, he's going to shut it down for the year and come back for his eighth season next season. His eighth season. In the Texas quarterback room in 2018.
That's nuts. It's better than Zach Wilson's kid brother. He's god-awful.
Oh, man. Runs in the family. Okay, Sully is on the line, friend of the show, but more than that, Sully, we'll give you a second for your Patriots. Perloff and I do not agree on this. Diametrically opposite. I say sit Drake May for the rest of the season. Your team is just not that talented right now. It's okay. You've seen a lot of winning. Why put him out there and risk him getting hurt? Obviously, McLovin feels the opposite way, thinks you got to get him out there. What do you think?
Could you stop calling me McLovin, by the way?
It's because Sully does it.
Yeah. And I tells Sully not to do it either. And he just goes through that stop sign.
All right. Andrew F. Perloff thinks that Drake May.
Okay. I'm with Perloff. Maggie, this football that I've been watching for 5 weeks is awful.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. Mm. I don't care. Let him get out there. Look, Maggie, you know how I live. I take a lot of risks.
Yeah.
Risk, reward. Let the kid get out there. Let him learn on the job. He's watched for 5 weeks. It's got to be better than check down Charlie and 5-yard dump offs. And by the way, throwback Patriot, Pat Patriot helmet, red unis. You know how I feel about that. We're going old school. Drake May is going to be like Steve Grogan, running all over the place and bringing the Patriots a win.
Sam the Bam Cunningham.
Oh, Sam Bam. Stanley Morgan.
So, by the way, the Patriots season's been bad, but Sully, I have a treat for you if you haven't watched it. If you guys have not watched the Aaron Hernandez show on Hulu.
I've seen some clips.
Oh, my God. It is the most wonderful recreation of the Patriots dynasty you will ever see. You've seen the clips, right?
I have.
Yeah, I started watching it yesterday because I'm like, I'm seeing all these clips. It is so funny. It is so comically bad.
It is one of those, it's so bad, it's good. Is that? That's what it looks like.
Don't we all know the story? Why did they have to go and make a story that everybody already knows?
Right. Well, that's
a thing now.
We can't get the truth about the Patriots from anyone else. Listen, Sully, thank you for doing this. Hi to Shmoopy. You're the best for calling, and thank you for reaching out and texting me about the award. You're awesome. You're a great friend. Thank you.
Love and miss you guys, and it's always good to be on the show with you guys. Have a great rest of your Friday.
See you soon, bud.
Okay. I mean, listen, gotta love when Sully calls in.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some interesting text back the other night.
About Drake May?
No, about Dave Marinick. Oh.
Wait, Dave Marinick, our boss?
No, yeah. Basically, I said the photos of the synopsis. So it was you, me, Trista Crick, formerly of BetQL, who's awesome, and Dave Marinick was there.
Showing his support.
And I told him the story about how Dave almost stole a trophy.
Yeah, listen, Dave was problem solving.
It was incredible producing.
No, yes, exactly. Like, nobody had given us our physical awards, like these little, you know, crystal things. And we kept asking, like, are we going to, you know, get one because we're about to go on stage? And they asked everybody to have them with you on stage, and nobody could find ours, I guess. And so Dave just took two other women.
Could have gotten arrested.
So Debbie and Lori... Too bad for you.
And he's just got such a positive vibe. Like, it makes it feel like Dave just stole these trophies, but it's okay. It's Dave.
It's Dave. What, are you going to throw Dave in jail? No way. Also, not last 5 seconds.
I knew Dave would do anything because remember Super Bowl week when something was left in my hotel room and I was like, hey, you need to go into my hotel room and get this.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad. We and Perloff were like, oh no, Dave's actually going to kill us.
That's the first time I've ever seen Dave Marinick frown in my life.
Well, you
was when
know
you
what?
Made him go about 100 miles to get a mic flag or something.
Well, that's the thing about Vegas. Sully was just calling from Vegas with Shmoopy, and obviously we love Vegas, but everywhere you go, it's like you have to walk 20 miles to get there. You get your steps in Vegas. Peter Schwartz is here. He's got headlines for us. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys? Football season is here because this report is brought to you by Download Prize Picks. Football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MANDP and get $50.
Peter.
M&P.
M&P.
Well, no, that's not the copy. It's not grammatically correct.
Manned
I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'm reading it off the teleprompter. It says Manned P.
Wait, this is the first time you're seeing
it? I've never read this read before.
Didn't want to, like, take a peruse of it before you open the mic up?
I did take a peruse of it. I'm reading it as Manned P.
Well, you can put in the promo code MANNEDP. It's all good.
It's still going to work, right?
Get the same boost. That's awesome. Put in MANNEDP, put in MNP, whatever. Just have an M and A.
Yeah.
How do you spell the rest of this?
MDP.
MDP.
Actually, I love that. Forget M and P. MANNEDP.
I'm going to try this.
Whatever's
again.
Easy to remember for you when you go there. It's great.
What's worse, MANNEDP or tequila?
Tequila instead of tequila?
Yeah.
It's one of your classics.
Oh, you said you thought it was a double L or something?
No, I always thought that tequila was pronounced tequila.
Huh. Clearly not a drinker.
No, it's on my holy day.
You drank too much of it.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, and I had way too many shots of tequila last night.
Let me try this again. Football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code M&P.
Yes.
And get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present and certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. I don't know who wrote this, but there are grammatical problems all over this read, but now I know. .com for restrictions and details. We lead off with the baseball postseason as one team has punched their ticket to the ALCS.
Here's the 2-2. A ground ball at the middle, base hit center field. A hot shot. Judge scores, Stanton at first with a ribby single, and the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
That was John Sterling on Yankees Radio. Yankees are ALCS bound for the 19th time in franchise history after a 3-1 win in Game 4 of the American League Division Series. They win the series 3-1. Manager Aaron Boone looked on as Gerrit Cole gave up a run and 6 hits while striking out 4 over 7.
I thought Gerrit was great. You know, really, really efficient again. I thought right from jump, his fastball was really good, and he had the command of it. And then he was able to mix other things off of that. But it started again with the fastball tonight being in a really good spot.
Now with Aaron Judge and the Yankees moving on to the championship series, they join the Mets in baseball's Final Four.
It's going to be exciting. You know, the Mets have had an incredible season. You know, I know they didn't start off the way they wanted to, but they got a great manager over there in Carlos Mendoza who, you know, I've had a chance to be around for quite a few years in the Yankees organization, man. You know, what a leader. What a guy that, you know, prepares his team. You know, even when he was here as our bench coach, he prepared his guys, prepared the infield, prepared everybody to go out there and compete on a daily basis.
Well, the Mets play game one of the NLCS on Sunday. Their opponent will be determined tonight as the Padres and Dodgers play game 5 of that division series. Game one of the ALCS will be Monday night, and the Yankees will find out Saturday night who they're playing.
Classe brings the hands up chin high. He lets it fly. Veerling, a swing and a miss. Ball game. And this incredible division series has one more game remaining.
Tom Hamilton, Guardians Radio, and the Guardians force a game 5 with a 5-4 win over the Tigers in game 4. David Fry had a go-ahead 2-run pinch hit home run in the 7th inning. Manager Stephen Vogt said Fry is terrific.
David Fry is one of the best baseball players in this league, and he's just a baseball player. You saw it tonight. You know, pinch hit off the bench, home run, gets a safety squeeze down, game on the line. Just can't say enough about what David has meant to us this year.
In game 5 Saturday night, 8:08 Eastern time. Padres and Dodgers, as I mentioned, game 5 tonight of that series. First pitch there is at 8:08. And now to Thursday Night Football.
Purdy under center. Juszczyk goes into an eye, and he's down to the three-point stance. A true eye ahead of Guerrero. Debo comes in motion left. They give it on fullback force. Juszczyk! Touchdown!
Greg Pop on 49ers Radio.
It sounds a lot like the Kansas City Chiefs touchdown call also. Got a little similar vibe going on. It's a touchdown Kansas City, that guy.
What do you guys think of the celebration running in to kiss the wives?
That was cool.
I thought it was fine. It felt a little manufactured.
But it did until Debo ran in the second time.
Right, and then they're like, oh, Debo, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. What? The sanctity of marriage. Like, all of a sudden, Debo's up there.
Well, they're all that. I know I've talked about, I think the Niners are going to come apart, but they are like a family. You watch that wide receiver show. Like,
well, right.
Where was Debo's wife?
I don't know. I don't.
Maybe I didn't see her in that little
she wasn't in that section.
There.
But they're all friends, though. Like her, his wife, I don't know if it's fiance, but
George Kittle's wife, she is the center of the party. Like, you can't not have a good time around her. I think that's what's going on.
I feel like she'd be fun on a party bus. That's what we saw in the documentary.
She's often on a party bus, according to this documentary.
Like she spends most of her time on a party bus, which I can respect. This was another thing. Speaking of the touchdown celebration, so guys, George Kittle scored, Juszczyk scored, and they both ran over to their wives who were out in this field-level like suite and jumped into the crowd. There were tons of 49er fans there last night. On the second George Kittle touchdown, when he scored, I was actually not – I was away from the TV at that point, and I just heard the cheers, and I thought, I was like, oh, it must be an interception. It's like, oh, no, it's a score. I couldn't tell. I thought the crowd was cheering because the 49ers made a mistake. There were so many 49er fans. It sounded like a home game.
They travel so well for years and years. I mean, the Cowboys do too, but I mean, when the Niners go places, man, they have tons of fans.
Well, the traveling fan bases, I think, that get the most credit are the Steelers. Cowboys fans, I think, are just all over the place. I don't even know if people travel. The Packer fans.
I feel like, for me, it'd be the Steelers and the Packers.
And the Chiefs fans get a good reputation for traveling, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, I don't think as much.
I think people just are Cowboy fans in every city.
Yeah, they just show up. And, you know, your guy in Baltimore happens to be a Cowboys fan. Like, everybody knows that guy.
Right.
But I think your point is, Seattle, you wouldn't think that's a place where you could get an in.
I didn't think you used to be able to. This was one of the great home field advantages of all time with the Legion of Boom and the fact that it's so loud. Who's selling their tickets to 49er fans?
Yeah, it did get cooking last night in the second half. It got pretty, you could tell the crowd was going insane.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a Seahawks fan, now with the secondary market and it's all legal and everything, like if you're a Seahawks fan, you probably pay for your whole year of season tickets.
Definitely.
By selling the one game.
But you're in first place. This is, you know, going into the game, they were in first place. Now they're not. But
this also could be the downside of Thursday night games, right? Like how many people said, I can't get to a Thursday night game. I have work tomorrow.
Right.
Like I have kids got school. Whatever. Like they just can't get to that game at that point in
the
season.
But on Sundays, you have, in theory, work the next day too. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but Sundays, you know, 1 o'clock game maybe for them locally.
That's true.
So
But I agree. If you're going to sell a game, sell a week six divisional game. Like, you definitely don't want to. If it's going to be a good season, you don't want to sell week 15.
Yeah, I've always known season ticket holders that don't like going to the night games, so they just get
right.
Rid of
and them. Also, too, how many options do you have to sell? Like, Cardinals fans aren't buying those tickets, so you got to take the Niners fans' money. I would totally do that. I had a friend, by the way. What happens if you get like a rare ticket who had got six Taylor Swift tickets in the lottery and told his daughter, "Is like, hey, you can invite your four best friends and we'll all go." Turned out they were worth $30,000 a piece or something.
Wait.
Or no, $30,000 in total.
Yeah, total. But they got six tickets in the lottery?
Yeah.
And this is for one of the New York shows?
One of the New York shows, yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter where in the country. Yeah, got six Taylor Swift tickets.
Wouldn't you, can't you split the baby there? Can't you be like, all right, you can bring you and one friend and I'm going to sell the other tickets and pay for your freshman year of college?
Wow, I don't know. Feels like you say that. You would sell your Seahawks tickets. I mean, you're saying isn't the experience invaluable, though?
But for the friends, I mean, your daughter still gets the experience.
I would just want to make my child happy and say, you know, listen, I'm taking you to the show.
You're a Yankees fan. What if they got to the World Series, you had tickets, and you said, oh, my God, I can get $20,000 for these two seats?
Which game is it?
Oh, man. 855-212-4227. Good comeback. Lots more to do. Thank you, Peter. We have a question for you about those Dallas Cowboys. We'll ask it next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Reacting to last night's Thursday night football game, 49ers, one of these, I hate to say it, a classic 49er game. You get out to a big score, a big lead, rather, but then you let your opponent back in the game. Ultimately, though, they do win and capitalize off of three Seattle turnovers that led to 12 points. Ryan is in California, wants to talk about his Niners. Ryan, do you feel better about the team after last night?
I feel about the same, Maggie. Despite the whole issue with the red zone offense, the defense and special teams has been kind of pedestrian at best. Defense having trouble tackling. And not getting to the quarterback at all with Bosa and Malik Collins in the middle. No one's really getting to the quarterback at all. I think they only got one sack last night. the special teams letting kick returns down the field. We've lost. We have two kickers that are making tackles and getting injured.
Yeah.
So, I think there's more deeper issues, and they need to be addressed. That's it.
Ryan, I'm going to tell you, we came on the air 6 o'clock Eastern time, 3 a.m. Pacific, and Perloff is shooting from the hip saying he thinks that the special teams coach needs to be fired. And absolutely, you don't do that lightly. You never call for coaches to get canned.
I mean, it 100% cost him the Cardinals game, special teams. Like, why does a team like this have special teams problems? The Niners are supposed to be – this team used to be tough, and now I feel like they're being carried by their offense. Like, I would call Robert Saleh and say, I know you said you don't want to coach again this year. They need somebody in that building to get everybody fired up. They just don't feel like the same team.
But Bosa was being disruptive last night.
Yeah, but I mean, that defense 4 years ago, they were the number one defense in the NFL. They don't look anything like that anymore. And they're even a top 10 defense now?
I don't know. You had two rookies come up with big interceptions last night. I get it. It's not like the lifestyle you're accustomed to, but
Well, why are they falling down in the defensive rankings every year now? And maybe because Saleh and D'Amico Ryan's left. I'm not sure. Like, there just seems to be a fire missing there.
Josh is in Philadelphia, and you're welcome to weigh in, obviously, on the 49ers at 855-212-4227. All right, Josh, we'll let you and Perloff have a little postmortem on the Philly season, but you only have 30 seconds.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Good morning, Mr. Perloff.
Morning.
Yeah, I think I called like a week ago or so, and we talked about the Phillies and how I just didn't feel right about them taking on the Mets. And I just think it's a shame that they had the second-best record in baseball this year, and within four games, it's all over and done with. I was just wondering what you think and what you think the morale will be for next year, if there is any.
Oh, next year. I'm fired up for next year. Josh, I'll tell you why. I think a healthy Bryce Harper is going to get fourth MVP or third MVP.
I think he has two.
Yeah, so I'm ready for the Bryce Harper revenge tour. If he could just fend off Ohtani, I think this is going to be Bryce Harper next year. So I'm excited because he really wasn't himself all year. He was good, but it wasn't like a normal Bryce Harper year. The second half of the season, the Phillies were meh. And I was thinking about this morning.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, if it was a seven-game series, because Josh brings up the five-game series, would that have made a difference? And I got to be honest, I can't tell myself that the Phillies would have won in a seven-game series. Like, they would have been down, 3-1 at that point. I don't think that's a good excuse.
Are you at all a little concerned about Rob Thompson, the manager? I know he gets a lot of praise, but your team was flat, man.
Yes. Guess who else was? Every other team that sits there for 9 days. They just their bats have been cold for a long time.
But isn't it also the responsibility of the manager? I get it. No one likes how this playoffs are set up because it feels like the better you are, the more you get penalized when it comes to the postseason. But isn't it also the job of the manager to keep those carrots out there, like to keep the team engaged in a certain type of way? Does any responsibility fall on him? Like, people think that, it's not just the very end of the year. The Phillies from the All-Star break on were kind of a regular team.
That dude got to a 2-1 lead in the World Series 2 years ago and Game 7 of the NLCS. Like,
Perloff, you're not this upstart. Like, you're not the Tigers, dude.
But you can fire up the team in the postseason. I mean, do you ever see the Yankees doing that?
Well, Rob Thompson worked for the Yankees for a long time. They probably should have hired him. I think that, but there is something about, like, is the message still getting received? Like, yeah, when you win 85 games and make it to the World Series, everyone's pumped up. How do you handle being a favorite? How do you handle expectations?
I mean, if that's the case, I mean, are any managers in Major League Baseball going to keep their job? Because what team that wins 105 games doesn't come out flat?
Okay, so
Dave Roberts is still in L.A.?
Well, and I think a lot of people aren't happy about that. I think that's a great example.
I think, listen, it's not a manager-driven sport anymore, so that's not an important thing. It's obviously a GM-driven sport. I think that some of the money they've spent seems out of place.
Okay, so GM is more the issue.
No, I don't think there's any issue. I mean, there's no issue at all. They've made the playoffs 3 years in a row. Once you get, that's all you can ask, right? Like, there's no issue. Things are great, right? Like, what do you mean issue?
I don't think people in Philadelphia think that things are great. I think people in Philadelphia feel like this team underachieved.
I'm not so sure. I mean, they didn't win that many games this year either. It wasn't
Josh
like the Dodgers.
Said he's disappointed. It doesn't even seem like you're disappointed at all.
Josh said, I knew we were going to lose.
That's a rough way. It's a loser mentality, quite frankly. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.